Ezekiel connected them dry bones. Ezekiel connected them dry bones. Ezekiel in the valley of dry bones. Now hear the word of the Lord. The toe bone connected to the foot bone. The foot bone connected to the heel bone. The heel bone connected to the ankle bone. The ankle bone connected to the shin bone. The shin bone connected to the knee bone. The knee bone connected to the thigh bone. The thigh bone connected to the hip bone. The hip bone connected to the backbone. The backbone connected to the shoulder bone. The shoulder bone connected to the neck bone. The neck bone connected to the head bone. Now hear the word of the Lord. Them bones gonna walk around. Them bones gonna walk around. Them bones gonna walk around. Now hear the word of the Lord.
Ah, that's exhausting. That's exhausting. Them Bones was published in 1928. Written by James Weldon Johnson and popularized by the Delta Rhythm Boys. African-American gospel group. You can Google them and you can see their videos on YouTube. They're actually really, really good. And this was one of their most famous songs that they did. Dem bones, dem dry bones, dem bones gonna walk around. Dem bones gonna walk around. Dem bones gonna walk around. Now hear the word of the Lord. Wow. What a fun song that is. And it illustrates the message from Ezekiel very well indeed. Ezekiel is taken out by God in a dream, in a vision. In one of those things that you sometimes wonder, what kind of drugs was Ezekiel on and where can I get them? And he's shown a valley of dry bones. A valley which is filled with dry bones, bones so dry, bones so old, bones so empty of life that they're brittle, that they're dry, there's no marrow in them. The sun has baked them completely through and through. There's no chance that you could get any kind of life, any kind of sustenance from them, much less bring them back to life. They are totally dry and bereft of any kind of life. And yet God says these bones, will they live? And his response is sarcastic. Oh, Lord, you know, of course not. And then God says, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, to these bones I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. The point of the song and the point of the message from Ezekiel is clear. What we think may have no chance at life, what we may think has no chance of ever changing, ever growing, ever living again. What we may think has absolutely no opportunity and no chance has life and opportunity, chance and ability with God. Nothing is beyond God's recovery. Not even dry bones are beyond God's recovery. Not even a grave is beyond God's recovery. That's the message of Jesus in his resurrection. That not even the grave can defeat us if God is on our side. And the message of the valley of dry bones is no matter how dry you may be, no matter how dry you may be, you're not beyond God's ability to recover. You aren't. Your family isn't. Your community isn't. Your church isn't. Your denomination isn't. Your city isn't. Your state isn't. Your nation isn't. The world isn't beyond God's recovery. That's the message of the dry bones. The Israelites were in captivity. They were in Babylon. They had been carted off by the Babylonians after the destruction of the southern kingdom. They had been carted off into Babylon into captivity. And they were there, divorced from their land, divorced from their life. Their nation had been destroyed. The kingdom had been laid waste. There was nothing left of the temple. There was nothing left of Jerusalem. They were not there. They hadn't been there in decades. Their connection to the promised land, gone. Their identity as a people, gone. The life of the worship life of the community at the temple, gone. Destroyed. In a grave. Supposedly beyond recovery. That's why God shows Ezekiel the valley of dry bones. Because they thought that they were dry bones. Oh, so dry. Incapable of life. And the message is, even though the bones are dry and scattered, even though the bones are dry and no longer connected, God can bring those bones together. The toe bone, the foot bone, the ankle bone, the shin bone, all the way up, God can bring them together. And then not just bringing the bones together, then God can add sinews to the bones and flesh to the bones and skin to the bones and add breath to the body and bring life where there was death. Life where there was no hope. Life where there was no opportunity. Life where there was nothing but the grave. Life. And life eternal. There's lots of questions as to how some of these words ought to be translated. One of the words that is translated here, in verse 13, for instance, it says, "And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up out of your graves, O my people." Verse 14, "I will put my spirit within you and you shall live." I will put my spirit within you. The Hebrew word here is ruach. You almost have to spray it when you say it in Hebrew. Ruach. Breath, spirit, wind, they all mean the same thing. Ruach means all of those. And it's the same word here where he says, "I will put my spirit within you," as when he says, "I will put my breath in you and you will live." In fact, there's some question that perhaps verses 6 should read, "I will lay my sinews on you and will cause my flesh to come upon you and cover you with my skin and put my breath in you, and you shall live." That's one possible alternate translation here. The point is, God puts his breath within us. God puts his life within us, his spirit within us. And no matter how dry we are, no matter how brittle we are, no matter how dry and brittle and wasted away our lives may be, no matter how much in the grave we may think we are, it matters not. Nothing is beyond God's recovery. I'm reminded of one of my earliest appointments in North Texas. 1993, in January, I was sent to pastor Cockrell Hill United Methodist Church in Oak Cliff. Cockrell Hill, an area, is an area of Oak Cliff that was overrun by gang warfare. In fact, the street that the church was on was the boundary zone between two competing gangs. And it moved back and forth and up and down the street, but that was pretty much the no man's land boundary zone of war. Hence, buildings were being burned, tagging was going on everywhere. The church sat dark and closed and locked. Windows were boarded up. You couldn't even tell if it was even being used from week to week, unless you happened to come by just for that Sunday school and church time period, when a few cars would be in the lot. It was sad. And I remember in a meeting with the congregation, and it was a congregation of elderly people. To illustrate this, how dire their situation was, the youngest person in worship, other than their pastor, was the pastor's father. All right? In his 60s. And I remember we were having a congregational meeting, and I asked Maydeen Goodnight, who was one of the matriarchs of the congregation. Maideen, why did you let the church get into this situation? Why did the congregation let this happen? And she looked at me and she said, honestly, Pastor Greg, the reason is because we thought that we would all die before it fell down. And then she stood up and she looked at her sisters and brothers and she said, we were wrong. It's falling down before we do. And we have a lot of work to do to make it right. And I watched as that congregation at Cockrell Hill was galvanized by her words. And they rolled up their sleeves and got to work. A church that had been in hiding for years behind its boarded up windows and its locked doors replaced the boards with windows and unlocked the doors. They opened the church to activities and groups. They opened the church to Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and Cub Scouts. They opened the church to Alcoholics Anonymous and to other forms of 12-step programs, especially related to drugs, unwed mothers programs, English as a second language program. And indeed, it was so important as we were reaching out towards the community started noticing us for the first time. We had one couple come to us and say when we were having a luncheon and they came in and they said, we didn't even know if it was still an active church. And we didn't even know who you were, for half the sign was gone. We got a special grant to put up a ticker billboard that would allow us to run the list of our activities on a ticker screen running across the bottom. One of the first in the area. And people started showing up for the activities, started showing up for the meals, started showing up for the 12-step program, started showing up for the Sunday school classes and the vacation Bible schools, and started showing up to church. And over time, and long after I left, this church that had been old and inwardly drawn and believing that they were in the grave and having been told they were in the grave came to life, and their bones were brought together, and God's sinews were placed upon them, and God's flesh was placed upon that, and God's spirit was moving through that church, and this church was alive. And 25 years later, this church is still alive. There's only a couple of members of that Cockrell Hill congregation left that were there when I was there. Maideen Goodnight, now about 104, is still there. But most of them are all people from the community. We had opened Mi Escuelita, my little school. We'd partnered with Head Start, and we used much of our empty building that wasn't being used at all during the week to host a school that grew and developed. And as it grew and as it developed, the families that sent their children there started coming to the church that hosted it. And over 25 years, that congregation was transformed. And today, where there had been 50 in worship, there are 150. And a congregation that was in its grave and just waiting for the bones to decompose is alive with the breath, the ruach, the spirit of God in them. Yes, dem bones gonna walk around. Dem bones gonna walk around. Hear the word of the Lord. I don't know what's confronting you. What health concern? What family concern? What relationship concern? What fear of the future? What challenge of life? What need is present in your life, in your family, in your community? I don't know what it is that is compacting and impacting you right here and right now, today, this very instant. I don't know what is keeping you in your grave. But whatever it is, it's not beyond the power of Jesus to bring back to life, to bring you back to life, to breathe His life into you and place His skin on you and His sinews in you and His flesh in you. None of us are beyond the reach of the breath of God. Dem bones gonna walk around? Yes. Yes. they're going to walk around. Your bones, my bones, our bones are going to walk around. Now hear the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
In your presence, Lord, let me learn at your feet. I will taste the riches of your word by your grace upon.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Commerce, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2017 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information and for other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 1709 Highway 24, Commerce, Texas, 75428. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.